Hello, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the Oxford.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin. Out of 116 million working-age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full-time. That's 30%. I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in. Half a million Lagosians,
720,000.
970,000 of you, they know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, and all you do, going beyond the headlines and focusing on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
Shakumaku, everybody. Shakumaku Lagos and Shakumaku Nigeria. It's a fine, hot and humid afternoon, but never to worry. The rains will soon be here, and we will say bye-bye to this heat that continues to torment us. But it's what we've known for many years. I'd rather be in this heat than the snow that wants to kill you in Oyiboman's country, huh? I'm Aogo Obu, and this is Hard Facts. I'm sure you've had yourself a fantastic day so far. You've had a great morning crossfire, WhatsApp Lagos, Daily Digest, and the Sunny Side with Joyce and Hard Facts. Here also too, Sandra Ezekwesili, so leave those of you who are asking, and I guess enjoying her time in the sun, maybe the Caribbean, maybe on the way to the moon. You can catch her up on Twitter, and a shout out to Buba. A lot of you, first and foremost, I think I should appreciate every single one who's tuned into 99.3 Nigeria Info. I mean, it's always a great thing to hear people outside talk about what we're doing, the sort of impact we're making, and it sort of spurs you to want to do more. I was speaking to a guy, Buba, yesterday. I mean, when the guy gave me the lowdown of what was going on in Nigeria Info, I mean, I shuddered, you know, and he said, don't pay me for this e-hailing ride today. And I said, thank you very much, sir. And thank you very much for all of you e-hailing guys who some of our most ardent fans, and those of you also too. I mean, I also listened to Rufai Hosseini's, my good friend, conversations yesterday, and I thought it was such a great thing, you know, to hear people talk about people, not just in their sphere of contact, but also people who have impacted them. Interestingly, fellow listeners who call in, and people saying their days aren't complete until they hear those names echo their thoughts on the major talking points we have for today. All right, away from that, and on to what we, you know, the way we do it here. We have the big three first, and after the big three, we will have community you report with Chukwudi Ezeogu, community caretaker. I was with him short while before I came in, and he's got a fascinating story on Ikorodu. Do listen out for it at the top of the hour, just after the business news update. We have the news update at the top of the hour, and then it will climax at 6 p.m. with our main news bulletin. And we have Big Hard Fact at 5. On Big Hard Fact today, we are going to be looking and continuing this unraveling story in Imo State. the entire Southeast appears to be on fire. You have a curfew, I understand, in Abia State, and then the audacious jailbreak which happened yesterday. Just some update on that. The Inspector General of Police is in Owerri as we speak, and he's taking a tour of the areas which were attacked by the unknown gunmen. The police insist that it is the proscribed indigenous people of Biafra and its Eastern Security Network that was behind the attacks, even though they have denied any connection with it. It's been speaking tougher. Try and see if I can get some excerpts of what the IG said in the run-up to a big hat pass. They're going to be looking at it from a security point of view. There's so many questions. I had a number of you asking questions during Sunnyside with Choice, and they're relevant questions. How could this have been planned? You know, the sort of caliber of weapons that were used. What exactly are we dealing with here? This is terror-grade weapons, rocket-propelled grenades. You have MGMs, you have, you know, high-caliber weapons that you use usually in warfare, used in those sort of ways, improvised explosive devices. So we speak with someone who is very, very familiar with these things, having done a lot of work with Boko Haram, in the fight against Boko Haram, rather, from the security point of view, to give us some understanding. And that will be at 5, so do watch out for that. Right, so we're ready for the big three. If you're ready, I'm ready. Remember, you can always join the conversation on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM, at Awogo Obo. Also, you can talk to us on Instagram, and we're on WhatsApp also too. If you've got any questions, you want to get Ellie to the block, it's 0809-597-5805. Again, 0809-597-5805. And then I think I've forgotten something. Yes, your chance to win 10,000 Naira in just a minute will happen during this belt. So lots and lots for you to unwrap. And if you're ready, here we go.
This is the Big Three.
The Big Three.
On Hard Facts.
On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Well, let's go. For those of you who are already up on the Third Mainland Bridge, you're crawling into traffic. I can see from my traffic gizmo. But just take your time. You'll finally get home. No need to hurry. Big story happening. The Academic Staff Union of Polytechnics, now not universities, has begun an indefinite nationwide strike. And the numbers are huge. Numbers of Nigerians who are in polytechnics and monotechnics, those of them who are lecturing will be greatly impacted by an educational system that has already been... by the way, WAEC is out. The results are out. And I was running through some of the highlights just before I came. So if you're listening and you wrote your WAEC, I wish you all the best. And parents and guardians, go check WAEC website and find out if your awards... And if you do pass, congratulations. I mean, gone are those days when you write WAEC in June and have to wait until the following year to see the results. Things are a lot faster in this jet age. Now, the president of ASUP, which is the acronym for the Academic Staff Union of Polytechnics, Anderson Ezeibe, told Newsmen that they decided to embark on the strike following the failure of the government to address the concerns it raised over the state of polytechnics in the country. The union drew the attention of the government to some of its pressing demands, such as the non-implementation of the NEET assessment report of 2014, the non-reconstitution of governing councils in federal polytechnics, amongst others. And there are several issues. And it's a question I've often asked many of these bodies. Just, I think it was 2 days ago, I was asking the same question to the Association of Resident Doctors, saying that you know many of these issues. Oftentimes, in fact, 99.9% of the times, many of the issues affecting, whether it's the education sector or the health sector, is a case of money. There are differentials in how much was paid, and they have agreements that they reach with the government. And in those agreements, they work to the T, just exactly how much is owed and how much should be paid and when the money should be paid. They have all of this information at their beck and call. But again and again, you will find out that when the budget year is about to start, when they have all of those meetings and the House committees on education, for example, and the Senate committee on education sit down to grill the permanent secretary and the senior members of these ministries, you ask the question, if you knew, for example, a billion naira was a differential in how much was supposed to be paid, based on an agreement you had reached with the government, and that money has been budgeted and put into that, and they say this budget has been passed, and this is the money, for example, that has been released. The question I ask them oftentimes, is it that the money was never released? Or is it that when the Minister of Education, for example, went before the House Committee or the Senate Committee, he did not say that included in the budget this year, it's been captured this money, is it? Because every time you would hear that this agreement was what was, like this for ASUP, for example. Let me show you something. This ASUP, for example, what I see here is the report, the needs assessment report. Wait for it. This was, sorry about that. This was in 2014. So this is 7 years down the line. They've also had another one 3 years later on where they reached an agreement saying that they were going to revitalize the institution. So they got what they called a revitalization fund. Mm? And there are issues around governance and administrative processes for 2020. So what you're looking at here, you know, and we can run back because I remember very well that many of these agreements were reached dating back to ASU was 2009, you know, is a 2009 agreement which hasn't been reached and followed through by successive governments that has often led to the ASU strike, you know. So for the Polytechnic, it's a year after that they had this sort of things happen. It was in 2010, they first reached an agreement with the government following a strike in I think this was in early 2010. So 11 years, this has continued. I'm going to go through some of those demands later. We'll try and get in touch with Anderson Ezebe, who we will speak with in some of our subsequent programs. But I'd like for you to tell me what you think about this agreement. It was Afrobeat legend Felani Kulakpo Kuti, who's one of his songs says agreement today, no agreement tomorrow. This is the sort of game that has gone on for several years. If you've ever been to a polytechnic, if you have anyone in a polytechnic, or you're still in a polytechnic, it'll be great for you to call in and tell us how this affects you. What are your thoughts about this entire thing? Because make no mistake, it is the children in the schools who eventually suffer. I remember in the 90s, I was in a polytechnic also too, and I thought it was such a great opportunity because you could see the vision very clearly on why you had polytechnics. For example, they were very practical in their approach. They were supposed to provide the bulk of the country's industrial working population, you know, for in the school I was in at that point in time. And it's such a sad thing that you've had this whole drama play out, you know. So that's one part of it. I'll talk about another part later on. Because even as we speak, I was telling a colleague of mine that when they are done with this, you're going to have the non-academic staff union of polytechnics, most likely, I could wager on this one, begin their own industrial action. The same way you would have the Association of Resident Doctors begin an industrial action, and whenever they reach some sort of agreement, JOHESU, which is the Joint Health Sectors Union, will kickstart theirs also too. So this liberalization of industrial actions, what are your thoughts about it? So two questions: if you've been in the polytechnic system, what you see and what you think of this so-called needs assessment. which revolves around many things that those schools need to function like first-class institutions. Call us and tell us what you think about. While those calls are loading up here, I'm going to go on the second story of the big three here. And this is, I skipped this one. I come for it for the final part because it's equally important. I'm going to lump the industrial actions. I'm losing count of how many bodies are on strike, countries on strike, eh? So, today, our guys were out and we did observe that, true to their words, the Judicial Staff Union of Nigeria grounded courts, at least I know, in Lagos, in Oyo, in Kano, and the reports are still coming in. This is what they did. They locked out staff members, locked out litigants, locked out lawyers from entering the court buildings. And this is what they say is their problem. They said that President Buhari had signed into law on the 22nd of May last year an executive order granting financial autonomy to the legislature and judiciary across the 36 states of the Federation. And just to dig deep a little further into this one, that executive order, which was signed by the president, makes it mandatory for all states to include the allocations of both the legislature and the judiciary in the first line charge of their budgets. The order also mandates that the Accountant General of the Federation deduct from source amount due to the state legislatures and judiciaries from the monthly allocation to each state for states that refuse to grant such autonomy. So this is the litmus test for the president's executive order. And there have been different reactions, which is where I'm going to come to you on story two. You know the already burdened judicial system in this country where judges sit sometimes for hours on end, cases on end, sometimes as many as 50 cases they have to handle. And if you have the judicial system of the country locked down in this way, think about it, about how many cases will be added to an already clogged system. Think about how long it will take to unblock the clog in the system. But they say this is what they're going to stick by. They're going to stick by their guns on this one. And we'll stay on this indefinitely until they get some headway in this. And there have been a lot of differing opinions. People saying that this will bring the country to a halt. And lawyers are upset. A lot of people are upset about this entire thing. There are many things you do in the court you don't realize. And some of them are time-bound. I mean, contracts and deals are signed in the court. And if you don't have it happen, sometimes it could mean the difference. I mean, not literally life or death, but it could mean that something, money is worth millions and billions of naira, could be lost. There's a guy here, for example, he says, this action, for example, is infringing on the fundamental human rights of prison inmates, and it will make it impossible for accused persons to be granted bail. That's already one part. So those, for example, who had court hearings, which was going to sit on whether or not they'd be granted bail, every day you go to work, you see those black marias that go past and they go into the courtroom. Many of them have awaiting inmates in custody. Because of this, they won't be able to go home because they will not be able to sit. How much more meet their bail conditions? 0700-993-993-993. Again, 0700-993-993-993. Call us and tell us what you think about the first two stories. The third story is the clangor. I'll come for that one after the break. But let me take this call first. Kindly move to a very quiet place. We don't get the hall back when you're connected. And let's go straight to it. We have joining us Mbani Graham. Mbani Graham. Hello and good afternoon. Let's see if we connect. Great. Hello and good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Great. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
My name is Mbani Grant, calling from Ojo Alaba, Sabo Nibra here, Lagos.
Mbani Graham.
Grant, yeah, exactly.
I love this name.
where does
your name originate from?
I'm from Abia State.
Okay, you see, I didn't want to say where you're from. I wanted to, because I know you reside in Lagos. I wanted to just stick with that. But it's a name from Abia State. All right, great to have you join in conversation. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. I've been listening to you with great intent and interest. Actually, the inconsistent, how do I put it? The consistent issue of in the country, just like what happened in Norway yesterday. Just to tell you that the president, the country has failed completely. And frankly speaking, this incident will continue to happen in other regions. The federal government does not take drastic measures to put a stop to all this. Thank you very much. That's all.
All right. Thank you very much, Mbani Grant. Mbani says drastic measures. Well, let me give you some breaking news now, some sort of drastic measure in some sort. We're getting story now saying that President Muhammadu Buhari has approved the appointment of Usman Alkali Baba as the acting Inspector General of Police. Megeri Dingiadi is Minister of Police Affairs. He's announced the President's directive to State House correspondents in Abuja, where our man Philip Mweli is there. Akali replaced Mohamed Abubakar Adamu, who is currently on a tour of assessment of the attack there. So when I come back, we'll talk some more about this. There's a new Inspector General of Police. His name once more is Usman Alkali Baba.
And sports after this. This is the Big Three.
The Big Three.
On the Hard Facts.
On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, welcome back. It's 28 minutes past three on the Big Three. Three big stories we're looking at. But just before we went on the break, I was just telling you some breaking story that President Muhammadu Buhari has approved the appointment of Usman Alkali Baba as the acting Inspector General of Police, and it takes immediate effect. This was announced by the Minister of Police Affairs, Mohammed Megeri Dangiadi, who was talking with State House correspondents a short while ago. Remember, the president had extended the tenure of Mohammed Adamu as Inspector General of Police for 3 months, and remember, I also told you that the current Inspector General of Police is in Owerri, the Imo State capital, following attacks, audacious attacks, which he is put at the table of IPOB and the ESN. And some comments we're getting from Owerri is that he said they're going to find and fish out the people who carried out the attacks, saying there will be no hiding place for IPOB. It will be. We'll get you. Don't, and also remember that. The new acting Inspector General of Police, Usman Alkali Baba, will have to be approved by the Council of State, which will be convened soon. Those are the messages we're getting from the wires here and from the newsroom. So we'll keep you updated on this one. And maybe you can also join this one to the other two stories, the one on the ASUP strike and the strike by the judicial workers. Whether it will change the picture of the police. A new guy at the helm of affairs for the police. Does it in any way change things? Does it change the equation? This guy, Usman Alkali Baba, has a huge job on ground. And let's see what you think about that. So I'm going to go to the phone lines and hear from you. I think that I'll reserve the third story, but let me hear from you. There's so much to talk about, and I'd love to hear what you have to say. 0700-993-993-993. Again, 0700-993-993-993. Christopher is in Ikoyi, and he joins us.
Chief Obo.
On Hatchbacks. Hey, Chief Christopher, good afternoon.
Chaku Maku.
Hey, Makushi.
Yala.
Yes, still the end.
At the end, Usman Baba, right?
Yeah, Usman Baba Alkali. Right.
He's saying the state of whatever will confirm or whatever.
Council of State.
That has been done. You know, when they put the former IG as another 3 months or so,
right.
You hear callers say, no, at least get somebody from the East, right?
Right.
Hello, Chibobo.
Yeah, I'm with you. Go ahead.
You say, no, at least this time get somebody from the East. I said, somebody told us, no, this man, let him, even if he used his own family to run the government. I
right.
said, no.
Right.
It's not a company. And Chibobo, quick one, you talk about how people are appreciating Nigeria Info, right?
Oh, right, right.
When your chairman celebrated his birthday,
right.
That day I was saying something about that man, Joyce. Eh, no, it's a just no, this is a man we should hear his name often. Not all these ones that their names are ringing bell who are making life difficult for Nigerians. So for Usman Buba,
right.
I just want him to work for Nigeria. Like you said, he has a big tax, right?
Massive.
You hear doctors, judiciary workers, the other people, Polytechnic, have you?
Yeah, Polytechnic, right.
Going on strike.
Yeah.
This is late already. Because 2 years down the line of this government, I've
right.
been saying it, Nigerians are taking side. It will not do us any good. Now look at where we find ourselves.
All right.
Chibobo, I want to thank every one of you in Nigeria Info. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. And always a pleasure hearing from Christopher. In Ikoyi. Ofer is in Badagry and also a first-time caller. One of them finally got out of the shadows. Good afternoon, Ofer.
Mofer.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, because you're a first-time caller too, I'm sure the call has also probably the same.
To Hard Fact, not to Nigeria Info.
Oh, to Hard Fact. I was going to send you a hamper. An early Christmas
Thank you
hamper.
Very much.
All right, go ahead. Several stories, I'm sure, that have grabbed your attention here.
Yeah, the strike first.
Right.
Like, it seems the whole Nigeria is going on strike. The doctors are on strike.
Right.
Judiciary is on strike.
Mm.
The Polytechnic are joining them now.
Mm.
And I saw something on Twitter that Uber driver and the rest of them want to go on strike also. Like, it seems Nigeria is definitely going on strike. But there's one set of persons that are not going on strike in this country.
Tell us about them.
The judiciary, the legislators. Those ones are not going on strike.
No, but hold on. The Parliamentary Staff Association is on strike, huh?
And those ones are like me and you now. Yes.
They're liberals.
They are just normal people. They are not elected members of the government.
Okay.
So they employ them. So they can go at any point in time. But this set of persons don't go on strike.
Well,
is it that they can be able to keep their money for them to be paid, but other persons are just this Nigeria, anything can happen. And I went to a polytechnic. The reason polytechnic is being brought down, the companies in Nigeria too are the ones doing it. Because when you bring a polytechnic certificate to a company, they will rather prefer a BSc holder than an HND holder. Whereas I have more experience than a BSc holder.
You're
I
right.
started with a BSc, but
right.
I dropped out due
You're
to
right.
the finance constraints. So I went back to HND to do an HND program because I wasn't able to finish my BSc.
In fact,
so I saw the difference.
In fact, at the state Nigeria is in, if we are going to talk about priority, we should prioritize polytechnic education
exactly.
over university education, because the polytechnic I was in for about a year, thereabout, I had practical experience like I've never seen in my life before.
Chief Agogo,
it's more than 50% practical.
I studied computer science in university before I left in 2011.
Right.
All what I was doing was on the board. But when I got into polytechnic, I studied the same computer science. But I was able to be into the lab.
Yes.
I was doing everything in the computer lab and the rest of them.
Shame.
I saw the difference.
Massive.
But I don't see what the people that have this company and the rest of them, they don't see in people from polytechnic. We have the experience, which I know we do.
Very true. Practical experience. I agree with you, Mofe. It's what we need. And dealing with the issues. 0700-993-993-993. I'll soon be with the WhatsApp callers and I'll get to the very interesting third story, which I know a number of you already have a clue about. Well, those of you who are on Twitter. Mr. Sam is in Ikorodu, and it's a pleasure to have you join us on Hard Fact.
Thank you very much, sir. God bless you.
Great, Mr. Sam. So which of the stories have caught your attention this afternoon?
Yes.
Hello, Mr. Sam. Mr. Sam? Oh, dear. It looks like Mr. Sam's connection has failed. We should have heard from him. All right, I'm going to quickly go on to WhatsApp, and then I'm going to get into the third story straight away. And if you need some more information on the on any of the stories, you can ask, and then I will fill you in, because I know it's a bit fluid. Oh dear, Ade has a long message from Sue Leary. Yeah, I'll try. Maybe paraphrase, summarize this very quickly. Ade says that the government and political office holders haven't been honest and sincere with their actions. They have been feeding the country with lies upon lies. They lost their credibility, integrity, shame, dignity, and conscience. The judicial system is another terrible mess in Nigeria. As an international lawyer, I'm really embarrassed and ashamed of the judiciary and legal system in Nigeria. We must have true transparency and accountability at all levels! Exclamation mark. We should have an independent, internationally trained group of forensic experts to thoroughly investigate, prosecute, punish all those found wanting and guilty. I agree with you completely. This is such a great message. And it also looks at many of the issues beyond just autonomy for the judicial system. Oh, judicial system also needs a needs assessment like the Polytechnic. I thank you very much, Ade, and I agree with you. Alkali's appointment is based on his credible records. Competence and confidence shall take the lead. This is Comrade Akpan Silas from Magodo yesterday. Like, we're going to get his curriculum vitae and see just exactly what he's done in the past. I'll have that shortly. The newsroom will help me with that. Our education sector is on strike, and our rulers don't care because their children school abroad. Our health sector is on strike. Our rulers don't care as well, because they can easily go abroad for medical care, just like our president is doing currently. And this is, has a direct link to what we'll talk about on the third story about the president being abroad. But let's speak first with Wari Laiefa. Wari Laiefa is in Ejigbo, I understand. Hello and good afternoon.
Yes, Chief Obo.
Yes. Hi, Zon.
Hey, you hear me?
Go ahead.
All right. Uh-huh. Ali, man.
That's where it ends for me. You know, we're just Niger
Delta. That's where it ends for you. All right. No problem. No problem.
But you know, the name will show where you are from. But go ahead.
Exactly. Now, the untidy way the police boss is being etched out shows the untidy way this country is being managed.
You think he should have come back from Imo State before he was asked to go?
How can a man be on duty, a critical duty, and you edge him out and bring somebody else? How do you expect officers under his control to feel? How do you, what about the morale of the force itself? Do they take these things into consideration when they take decisions? Are you not supposed to, after a man has served you for 4 years, give him a good handshake and tell him thank you for what you have done and wish him well? Is this how to wish somebody well? I think it's very untidy. Very untidy. We should try to manage this country well. The president is outside and is giving orders from outside, not caring about how people feel inside. It's unfortunate. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And great point you make there, because I'm wondering just exactly what the debriefing will look like. He's made some big statements in the last 24 hours. What do those statements mean now that he's off the seat? Let's speak with Fidelis. Fidelis is calling in from mile 12. And hello, Fidelis. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Abo.
Good, good. Great to have you join us.
Yeah, I want to react on the new IG of police.
Please go ahead.
You see how partial this government can be. You see what the people have been expecting all the while. But to our greatest surprise, look at what this man is just doing now. So the Easterners are being marginalized. Well, I'm waiting to hear the supporters of this government what they have to say concerning this.
Yeah, let me just ask you this question. If you had the Inspector General of Police from any of the southeastern states emerge, what would that have meant to you?
One Nigeria.
One Nigeria.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Fidelis, who has some qualms about where the new Inspector General of Police is. In case you're just joining in the show, we have a developing story from Abuja, where the president has approved the appointment of Deputy Inspector General of Police Usman Alkali Baba as Acting Inspector General of Police, and it takes immediate effect. Meanwhile, you have now outgone Inspector General of Police Mohammed Adamu in Owerri, the Imo State capital, taking a tour of places that were destroyed during an audacious attack by I can't even call them, well, gunmen. Part they also had RPGs and IEDs destroy and set free over 1,800 inmates at the correctional facility in Owerri. All right, I'm going to go to the third story very quickly so I can open the phone lines and have you all. Oh dear, appears I have some commercial to go. So rather than take the third story, let me just go back to the phone lines, get your messages before we go on that, because I'm not too sure we can have that third story happen almost immediately. So the phone lines, we can load up the calls, and then let me get back on WhatsApp. Appointment of a new IG. It's Daniels from Okoti says, the president is a comedian. I missed the joke here, but tell me if you can, why you think he's a comedian because of the appointment of a new IG. Abraham from Adion Gas Line says, the people in the power are the problem in Nigeria. They don't care, let alone let everyone strike. It doesn't affect them. That is why you can't get any policy right. I'm sorry, from Nigeria. Robert says that this is not an exaggeration that everything is gradually dying in this country. We're in serious problem. From educational system to the economy, security, mention them are dead. And I dare say also to that we are eternal optimists in this country. Somehow, when we wake up in the morning, we believe and we can shout like Colin Sticky, what's up? And make things happen, which I think is what drives us continuously, even if it looks like to the brink. Annie in Otta says, I don't know why they took such a horrid decision. But, well, they had 3 months extension to make this decision. Maybe the timing you want. But we've had problems almost every week in this country. When would he have been replaced? That's a question people are asking. He should have been allowed to return back from Imo before the announcement, says Annie in Otta. Ororo from Ayobo says, this is what Nigeria has turned to. Some people are already ready to set their phones to call and defend Buhari and APC. Well, it's the beauty of democracy, the multi-plurality of opinions. Everyone will have their say at the end, but not necessarily be yet. Although the new IG will not make any difference, the system is already uprooted. Undubweze from Ojodu Bega. Jefta from Agbara says, I will continue to say there are lots of people who put this country into a mess we are facing today. All the radio presenters use their position to manipulate their gullible listeners to toe their advice by electing this evil APC government. It may hurt you, but it's true. I don't think so. I think people vote who they want to at the end of the day. Let's go on a quick break. We come back and we talk some more. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Fields, or if not, every part of the country should have been growing what they need to eat. If an individual can do exports, why can't the governors look for land, create farm land for these people that did agree in the university?
My people, how far? See, if any kind of person say you want the coded password for your bank app, I'll be your PIN. Your card PIN, I be the carry number way day back of your card. Your pay ID, I be the answer for your security question. I beg, no give them all this information. Them suppose they coded. You no suppose share them with anybody. Make you wise up. No make them scam you. This message now from Kuda Microfinance Bank, the bank of the free. Make you download Kuda for your Play Store or for App Store to open accounts. Make you start to enjoy your banking.
Are you a resident in Lagos? Do you own a business or are you unemployed? Learn how to access and manage resources for your business. Listen to The Portal. The Portal on 99.3 Nigeria Info every Saturday from 11 a.m. as we discuss employability, funding, business management, working business strategies, and so on. You will learn from business experts, captains of the industry, and young entrepreneurs. The Portal every Saturday from 11 a.m. Brought to you by 99.3 Nigeria Info, in partnership with the Lagos State Employment Trust Fund.
Down for Conversations is a 90-minute interactive magazine show augmented by special guest interviews. We'll be exploring the social, political and the social cultural issues in Nigeria whilst weaving you through the lunchtime traffic of Lagos. Join me, Ireti Bakare Yusuf, every Friday
1 to 2:30 p.m.
on Nigeria Info 99.3 FM, your number one station for talk. Now let's talk.
This is the Big Three.
The Big Three
on the Hard Facts
on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, welcome back, and this is for the home run for Wealth of the Top of the Hour, where we have the business update and then community report continues up next. 0700-993-993-993 on WhatsApp 0809-597-5805. Again, 0809-597-5805. All right, Daniel Smokota has explained why he thinks president's a comedian, saying that comedians are never serious people when they're on stage. This man, our president, is trivializing governance and a coordination, just throwing jabs. But some people get knocked off with the jabs. I do the third story, right? Okay, so Johnson, just hold on for a minute, please, and let me quickly rush through this third story. Now, I was asking, we've all been wondering where the president, how the president is. Do we know where he is in the United Kingdom for a routine medical check? So a group of people in the United Kingdom, it's become some sort of circus where groups of people go for and against the president. Now, this is for the president, saying that a protest organized by Reno Omokri, who I was just chatting with shortly and said, I'm on the protest ground, we'll talk later, says that it says that Omokri, former aide to ex-president Goodluck Jonathan, was out for the protest to harass the president from London. He says that Omokri has the right to protest, but he was only being insensitive by organizing the one-man protest. He's saying that it doesn't represent the views of the people, Nigerians abroad, and that we cannot equate what Omokri is doing with what is going on in the country. He said that this Omole, who is the APC's UK chapter, saying the protest was ill-motivated, it was unnecessary, and should be stopped. Now, he says that we Nigerians of the United Kingdom are here today to say we like that you, President Buhari, we like what you are doing, President Buhari, and we'll keep supporting you and your administration. He advised Omokri and his collaborators to prefer ways of addressing the country's challenges rather than making a mockery of themselves, adding that all hands must be on deck to enthrone a better Nigeria in the interest of all. All right, so we can have the calls there. And he also tried to explain out that reports in some quarters that some Nigerians abroad are being paid to attend the support rally was false. His argument is that Nigerians in the diaspora send money. They send money back home for business and for investment, not for rallies or stage rallies. I don't know whether you believe that or not, but I'm sure you've been watching keenly and with fascination this carnival of some sort going on in the United Kingdom. The Nigeria House, where you have protests for and against the president as he sent back to the checkup. People sort of look and view this from the prism that the country's healthcare system is in shambles, which is why the president cannot undertake a routine check. They try to spin this over and over again, but I'm also finding it... It's a PR's nightmare to explain why the president is in the United Kingdom for a medical checkup, whereas the country's got its own healthcare system. Is the healthcare system not so? Every time this has happened, you've had this sort of back and forth on why he's out there, and so trying to shift away the discussion there. So that's the final story on the Big Three. The president in the United Kingdom and the protests that have happened back and forth. What you make of it? I have abandoned Twitter. I'm so sorry. People are telling me I should run to Twitter. And let's see what's going on Twitter while Mel is getting set for me. Mel is calling in from Ikoyi and is also a first-time caller. Hello, Mel. Hello, Mel, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon, now. How are you doing?
I'm brilliant. Your first time caller on Hard Facts or first time caller on Nigeria Info?
Not a first time caller on Nigeria Info, but a first time caller on
Hard Facts.
Hard Facts.
Your hamper isn't going to come. I'm sorry.
Don't just go there. Otherwise, I will tell you yalla 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 now.
no yalla yalla anywhere.
How are you doing, sir?
Brilliant, and I hope you're brilliant too.
I am fine. I just want to talk about the new IG, which I just got information this afternoon.
Go ahead, please.
Yes, I just hope it is not going to be just like the director of DSS.
Mm.
The president is not in the country, as at the time, the vice president made that change. And all he just came back and rubbished the good effort the vice president made.
Heaven forbid.
I'm just saying.
But I mean, crazy things have happened in this country, man.
I'm telling you, now that he's not in the country and there is a change, I hope it's not going to go that way. But all the same, this is not good.
Mm.
I mean, I retired from the Nigerian military. The way this thing is done is not good.
Mm.
The current serving IG is on top of some formations.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, he might just be in the field and he will get this information that another man, Akali, has been appointed as an acting inspector general of police.
Mm.
It doesn't work well.
Mm. Mm.
There should be that kind of respect. There should be that kind of transition.
Mm.
Let the man prepare himself and let the new man come in and let there be a seamless switchover.
Mm.
But for him, for me, I am just speaking for myself, for me to be on the field, believing that I am working for this nation and for this APC party.
Mm.
Mm. I say, all of a sudden, you are hearing that another person has.
But Mel, with your experience in the military, and you probably have had to be on an assignment, if you got this sort of information and knowing that you are professional, how would you have taken it?
It is demoralizing.
Mm.
It is very, very demoralizing. Mm. You can imagine, just put yourself, you, Sandra, and the Cordry.
Mm.
You are going on maybe on a short break, and the way it was approved, the manner your break was approved, is very, very shameful.
Mm.
And now those who are behind you will look at it.
Mm.
What is happening to this man might tomorrow happen to me.
Mm.
You understand?
Right.
It's not a way, no matter even if the officer is a non-performing officer.
Mm.
Don't send a bad signal. Don't demoralize the team you have.
Mm.
It's not good.
All right, Mel. Thank you very much, and I wish you more luck also in getting through to us. I see another first time caller on Hard Facts. Maybe I'm the one bringing the good luck for them. But Mike is calling in from Sue Leary. Hello,
good
Mike.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Excellent.
Oh, well, how are you?
I'm very well, and how are you, Mike?
I'm fine. I wish your friend and partner, Mr. Sankore, is there today. I would have loved it.
Yeah. I guess he's listening. Go ahead and make your comments, Mike.
My full name is Dr. Mike Oji. I will not hide it.
Oh.
I want to talk about the attack at the Owerri prison.
Right, go ahead, please.
In fact, intelligently, we know that was not done by IPOB or ESS. I think it's masterminded by the Nigerian government, executed by the Ministry of Defense. They can't deceive us. Look at all the scenario, what is happening. The IG went there to get the call, in the now appointed another IG. We are not fools. They should not try that nonsense they're doing in the north, in the east.
But Mike,
they shouldn't try.
Dr. Oji, but you know, investigations even is still preliminary, you know.
There
so
is no investigation. Everything is masterminded by the Nigerian government, executed by the Minister of Defense.
All right, Dr. Mike, thank you.
They shouldn't turn Ebola into a theater of war. Otherwise, all of us will be prepared and go to war.
No one is going to go to war, Dr. Mike. But let's get the facts straight. This attack has happened, and they're trying to, you know, they're trying to tick the boxes on exactly what has happened. And investigations, like they say, we now know, for example, the caliber of weapons that were used. We know a number of other things, but like they say in the investigative circles, it's still early days, and we can take one more call from Bola in Ikoton. Bola, please go ahead. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Great. Let's hear your contribution on any of the stories, and move away from the device you're listening to. We're getting the feedback, please.
Okay, thank you very much. I don't want to tell you the area I belong to, but the mobile IG, I think, is the best option, honestly speaking. Because how can you see, look, first of all, when they extend this tenor, I said it, that it is the police work. People don't realize what is police work. Police work is a lineup. Well, you don't know, you know, I see no, it's not, but today it's not like that. Well, they promoted, you know, ahead of senior. Yeah, look at what happened the other time about the issue of salary that increment on this thing. The other answers to today, one and nobody, they have not paid anybody. There, this you cannot go on strike, but you know what that means. You see, the issue of the bombing this thing. I know. Look, in as much you continue to tribalize sentiment and policy on issue, you continue to get, you know. I think for removing that IG, I think it's bad because there are some people behind who expect to be in that position and were being denied. That what happened.